Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this night is Hebrews chapter 11, 21 to 22, which reads, "By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made this mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones." The first book of Moses ends with the burial of Joseph. It is obvious from these last verses, this is only the beginning, the genesis, if you will, of what is yet to come. Joseph had lived a very full life, serving 80 years as his advisor to the Egyptian Pharaoh. He lived to the ripe old age of 110. Nevertheless, his life and his faith looked forward, not backward. As the grand vizier of Egypt, Joseph could have been buried in an elegant fashion. There's much that he could be remembered for. Instead, he makes his sons swear on oath to carry his bones from Egypt to the promised land, because it says, "God will surely visit you." Now, one of the details of the story is that Joseph's body is embalmed. His body is preserved like one of the ancient Egyptian mummies. And a part of that tradition has come into our day, but really did not start in America until the 19th century. For the first American president to be embalmed was Abraham Lincoln. You remember the stories of his body going through the United States by train to be honored by the masses who mourned his passing. So Joseph, too, was preserved for the very, very long journey. Now, if you watch the Ten Commandments, that is the one with Charlton Heston, you can watch for the bones of Joseph being transported with the children of Israel. The scene actually shows up twice, once when they're leaving Egypt, and again when they are crossing the Red Sea. The Bible tells us the children of Israel carried his bones for some 40 years until they reached the promised land. Joseph always knew his resting place was not in Egypt. He was a visionary for his own family and for all of the children of Israel. And his vision was granted by the promise of God, of the God of Abraham, to Isaac and to Jacob. Faith is always looking forward, looking to the future, always on the basis of God's word. Today's secular funerals do not look forward, but they look backward. People who die without faith have nothing to celebrate. They do not see what is yet to come. Now you'll understand why today's funerals are called a celebration of life, life which is celebrated in reverse, looking backward. The past. Christian funerals, they look forward. They treasure the memories, but they also sing of the hope that is yet to come. Like the child who is promised by their parents to go to the Dairy Queen. So we count on the promises of God to come to pass. We may think of the flavors of the ice cream that we want to enjoy. So faith looks forward. It hears the promises of God. And then makes plans accordingly. When Jacob died, he made his sons swear to him that they would bury him in the land of Canaan. They may have returned earlier to Canaan when he died, like the 12 sons of Jacob did when they went to bury Jacob earlier. But Joseph knew that he had to wait for his bones to rest. We don't know exactly why. There are many ancient legends about the bones of Joseph. But Joseph, he knew that the time was coming when God would visit his people and lead the people out of Egypt. Hebrews 11 demonstrates that faith always looks to the future, as it reads, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen." This means that faith not only just casually looks back at the past, but intensely looks toward the future. Now, That's easy when you're young, isn't it? When you're young, you always look to the future. You can't wait for the next birthday to come about. You want to get older so you can do those things as soon as possible that others older are doing. You know, like drive a car, go to your first communion, shave your first whiskers, go to your first date, and then head off to college. The future is wide open to experience. But as you get older, things settle down. And all those difficult decisions such as who do you marry, where do you live, what do you want to be, what do you do with your life, they start to fade in the rearview mirror of life. Children now become your future. Your nieces and nephews become more important to you. And you start to invest in young people because you know that they have so much more before them. They need your guidance and direction in life. But your life? There is a whole lot more to come. It is wide open. Like Joseph, who made plans to have his bones and where they would be laid to rest. So too, we cannot stop thinking about the future. What is still beyond the horizon. For God has made us a promise. That promise is that there is the new heavens and the new earth that will be revealed on the last day. That promise is for our eternal life. Do you have a Christian will? Do you have scriptures picked out and Christian hymns of substance that you want at your funeral? Do you know where your children are going to lay you to rest? Have you made provisions for your children's children so that your memory lives on in them? You see, even in our parting gifts, your faith can be seen. You want to encourage your children in the Christian faith because nothing matters so much in their lives and in your own. You want them to remember you, but more importantly, you want them to remember their Lord Jesus Christ, who has forgiven them all their sins and who rose again. Give them this everlasting life. Joseph made his sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, promise that they would carry his bones out of Egypt. Joseph wanted his two sons and all the children of Israel to be encouraged in their grief. He wanted them to remember not just his life, but the life that is yet to come. For God's promises would sustain them, and his promises would come to pass, and therefore we should leave final instructions for our children to testify of the promises of God so that they too will be encouraged in their Christian faith. There is something else that you should know about Joseph. He is the first of many generations who do not hear from the God of Israel. You see, God had spoken to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and that's why he is called the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. To them, he had spoken the promise of the promised land, the descendants, as numerous as the stars of the sky, and of course, of the Savior who would come from their collective bodies. But it wouldn't happen again until Moses, Joseph, and the generations that come after him are those that go without any direct revelation from God. They don't even have the prophets speaking to them on God's behalf. All they have is that ancient promise from long, long ago. God had spoken directly to Abraham on several occasions. Isaac saw the angel of the Lord come up on the mountain where he was about to be sacrificed. Isaac personally receive the promise of God. God would also appear to Jacob, and the Lord would famously wrestle with Jacob in the night and change his name to Israel. God repeated the promise then again to Jacob. Your name is Jacob. No longer shall your name be called Jacob, but Israel shall be your name. God said to him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall come from you, and kings shall be, or shall come from your body. The land shall that I give to Abraham and Isaac, I will give to you, and I will give the land to your offspring after you. There are no stories like this in the life of Joseph. He was given the gift of interpretation of dreams. But God never spoke to him in a dream, let alone directly, like to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. But his father Jacob told him the memories. Israel told him of the promises of God that he had also shared with Isaac and his grandfather Abraham. He told him of that night that when the angel wrestled with him and changed his name to Israel. Joseph, in turn, told his children and his children's children to the second and third generations. They would sit on his knees and hear them again and again. That was the only connection that the whole nation of Israel had. God of Isaac, or the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Stories told upon the knee of their fathers. I mention this to you because, like the generations that came after Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we only know of the promises of God through the stories that have been handed down to us through the generations. But we tell these stories too because we want our children and our children's children to cling to the promise. For our death is not the end of life, nor is it the end of the promise. We are always looking forward to the future when God will fulfill his word spoken to us. The apostle Peter once warned the church that there would be those who would give up on the promise. They will invite you to do the same. He writes, scoffers will come in the last days. They will say, where is this promise of his coming? For ever since our forefathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. God once destroyed the world in a great flood, and the world today is reserved for fire. Then he goes on to say, do not overlook this one fact, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. For the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but he is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. He continues, since all these things are this way to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. But according to his promise, we are waiting for a new heavens and a new earth in which the righteous dwell. 2 Peter chapter 3. God will keep his promise. We know, or I should say, we will now keep faith. Faith not only for ourselves, but also for our children. And for our children's children, our bones will speak from the grave that there is hope beyond this life. And they will say that God has promised a new heavens and a new earth, a new home of righteousness. For now, faith is the assurance of things to come and the conviction of things not seen. In Jesus' name, amen.
For information about our congregation, for service times and schedule, please visit our website at www.standrewlcms.org. Thank you for listening to Sermons Preached at St. Andrew Lutheran Church in West Fargo, North Dakota, a member of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.